Bishalach. Okay, Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Parshas Bishalach, Tavshin Ayin Zayin. A recording from the basement of our home in Bergenfield. And we thank everyone for listening in on the phone. And those who will listen to the recording. Okay, so Vayihi Bishalach. So we've seen a million times by now. Not a million literally, but we've seen many times how the Or HaChaim HaKadosh always points out that Vayihi is a Lashon of Tsar. Which is extremely strange, that Klal Yisrael are leaving Mitzrayim. We're about to complete our freedom. So why would the parsha begin Vayihi Bishalach? What was the tsar? What's the difficulty in leaving Mitzrayim? Vayihi Bishalach Parasam. It was so sad when Paro set us free. We've been waiting forever to be set free. Says the Rachayim Hakadosh, Tzarech Ledas Lama Amar Lashon Tzar B'Makom Gila V'Renan. Why on earth would Hakadosh Baruch Hu choose to use the word Vayihi? Which again implies something painful, when it's the greatest moment of our history in a certain sense up to this point. Od lama kina ha'inyan b'paro v'lo ba'adon ha'maisim ki hu ha'motzi osanu me'eretz Mitzrayim. The second question really becomes the answer. Why does it say by he it was when Paro sent us out? Why doesn't the pasuk say it was when Hashem took us out? Why not focus from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective? Why give the credit to Paro for sending us out? The pasuk is actually setting us up to understand the tsar of this pasuk is explaining to us what's going to happen afterwards. You know, we're all used to getting to the Yamsuf and HaKadosh Baruch Hu splits the sea, so we know how the story is going to end. But if we put ourselves back in the shoes of Klal Yisrael, they're standing trapped at the Yam with Paro chasing after them. Paro has a change of heart. Redifas Paro, the Rechaim says, the chasing of Paro. And it's a frightening thing. So how did that come to be? Why was it that after we were freed, Paro would chase us another time? Like, when is this actually going to finally end? So explains the Rechaim HaKadosh, the reason that Paro is going to chase after us and have a change of heart, and the reason that we're going to have a bit more tsar, is because of Bishalach Paro Asam, as the pasuk says, Vayihi Bishalach Paro. The fact that it's Paro sending us out.
Aaron Black.
Welcome, Aaron Black. Just mute your phone, please.
How are you?
Good, Baruch Hashem. We just started. So Vayihi Bishalach Paro Asam, the fact that Paro sent us out, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take us out, and he's going to explain what that means, that's the reason that we're going to have more tsar, namely that Paro is going to chase after us once again. So, Kafa Osoach Nisratza V'Shilchem V'Amrathem Kumutzu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manipulating Paro to send us out, and again, it's there's too much Paro involved. That's the Vayihi, that's the pain of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, Mizech Yishev Machshavos Lirdov Acharayim Kasher Aver Be'ezras Hashem. So as I'll go on to explain, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, that's why, because Paro did not, the MS, surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather Paro is still being stubborn, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manipulating Paro, and it's not really coming, kiviyachol, it's not happening the way that Hashem wants it to happen. V'zeh garam tzar liYisrael. V'gam la'atzmo garam ibulo lumaso. So because of that, Paro is going to cause more pain for himself. And Paro is going, hi, welcome. Paro is going to cause more pain for himself, and more pain for Klal Yisrael. Okay, so that's the Vayihi Bishalach Paro. It's a painful experience because Bishalach Paro. V'tzeyu lamad ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu yakpid al kilyon ha'nivrayim. K'muva b'divrayim zal megillah daf yudam ad beis. We see that this is painful also for HaKadosh Baruch Hu because Hashem doesn't want... Hashem is happy. We didn't see... Wow, welcome. Welcome.
Hi,
we started, so you can mute your phone. But thanks for adding that beautiful addition. Baruch Hashem, welcome. So we've seen, we didn't see some of the pieces inside, but Paro is someone who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to work with. Hashem wants Paro to do tshuva. Hashem doesn't like destroying Rishayim. He likes destroying Rishayim if they choose to be Rishayim. But Hashem would much rather a person change his ways. So therefore, again, Vayihi Bishalach Paro. Why is this painful? It's painful for Hashem, and it's painful for Paro, and it's painful for Klal Yisrael, because it didn't have to be this way. If Paro would have let go of them the right way, then Klal Yisrael would have left. They wouldn't have to have the additional pain and suffering of being chased after by Paro. Paro is not going to end up destroying his entire country, whatever's left of it, by chasing after them and having them drown in the sea. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol doesn't have the pain of destroying bad people because the bad people do tshuva. So that's the Vayihi. And again, he's referencing that Gemara and Megillah, that Masa Yadai Tovim Biyam Vatem Orim Shira, that the angels wanted to sing as the Egyptians were drowning in the ocean. L'Shem says, what do you mean? This is painful for me. It didn't have to be this way. And that's the Vayihi. Ukeneged kol zeh amar kasu Vayihi lashon tsar. So now we understand why the pasuk says Vayihi. Why is it painful? Mi garam kol tsar zeh b'shalach paro. The fact that it was b'shalach paro and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking out, but paro sending out, again, under these difficult terms, that's why there's going to be more trouble ahead. Okay, if you go to the next paragraph, I'll just mention it outside. It could be that Vayihi b'shalach paro es ha'am. It could be that the key word is not paro, but the key word is am. Am, the Zohar says, is always a reference to the Erev Rav. And it's the Erev Rav's involvement with Klal Yisrael. It's those Jews who are either not authentic Jews, or, listen carefully, the second way to say it, or Jews who want to be authentic Jews but just don't have enough knowledge yet. He says a very interesting thing at the end of the paragraph. He says at the end of the paragraph, the reason that the Erev Rav caused trouble for Klal Yisrael, he says on the words, Kikarov hu perish karov hu lirmos ha'am mikarov ba, ve'ein lo chozek bakadusha. There's a concern that the Erev Rav, because they were too new to this Judaism, right? They were the ones who were shaky. Meaning the Jews who had been working on themselves and reconnecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and are rooted in Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So those Jews were able to leave Mitzrayim in a strong place, and they probably could have gone straight to Eretz Yisrael. But it was those Jews who were new to Judaism, namely the Am, which is a code word for Erev Rav, who caused the Tsar to Klal Yisrael that we ended up having to go the long route by way of the Midbar. So that's the Vayihi b'shalach paro es ha'am. It's because paro sent us out es ha'am with the Erev Rav that v'lo nacham elokim derech eretz plishtim ki karfu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take us in a roundabout way, and that caused us, again, all of the troubles that we would have in the Midbar. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yud Tes. Jump ahead for a moment to the next Pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayikach Moshe's atzmos Yosef imo." Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef at tzaddik. Ki hashbea hishbias bnei Yisrael lemor pakod yivkod elokim eschem v'alisim es atzmosai mizeh itchem. Because Yosef at tzaddik had made Klal Yisrael swear that when pakod yivkod, when Hashem remembers you, double lashon, we'll talk about that in a second, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers you and takes you out of Mitzrayim, you should remember me and take my bones out of Mitzrayim with you. So says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, what's pakod yifkod? What's the double lashon of pakod yifkod? When you are remembered, surely remembered. Right? It's a double lashon. Obviously it adds emphasis. That's the most basic explanation of pakod yifkod. Right? When Hashem will surely remember you. But obviously there's something more. In a double lashon, we have to explore what's the nuance in the double lashon. So the Rechaim HaKadosh says, Pakod Yifkod, Tam HaKefel, Lahatzik Emunas HaDavar. You could say that Pakod Yifkod comes to testify to the truthfulness, right, to the Emunas HaDavar, to the truthfulness of the matter. Vizesh Yuro, but this is the way to learn it more precisely, Pakod Perish, HaPakida Shiyavtiach Hashem Vada Yifkod. That is to say, pakod, that which Hashem will remember you, yifkod, vada he will yifkod, right? Hapakida shiftiach Hashem vada yifkod. Okay, so again, first way to learn it is in terms of the emphasis, that this is absolutely true, and no matter how bad it gets in Mitzrayim, you should know that if Hashem promised he's going to take you out, he's going to take you out. Pakod yifkod, right? It's a lesson of being guaranteed. Od yirtza limos al beiz dvar. But we can break it down even further, he says, and say that pakod and yifkod refers to both a negative aspect and a positive aspect. By distancing yourself from the, like a sor meirav ase tov kind of dimension. He says it hints to beiz dvar. Al archakas hanezek v'al hakravas hatoeles. It hints to or alludes to the distancing from that which is damaging and drawing close to that which is meaningful and purposeful and good and positive. What does that mean? Pakod Yifkod. Hashem will double remember the promise. What's the double promise? Harchakas hanezek hiatzalasam me'oni Mitzrayim me'ol savlam. The Pashup Shad, obviously, the first thing I want to be remembered for if I'm a slave in Mitzrayim is to get me away from Mitzrayim, to get me out of this, get me out of the tortures of Mitzrayim, the oppression of Mitzrayim. So that's Pakod. What's Yifkod? What's the positive aspect of being remembered? It's not just getting out of here. It's additionally hakravas hatoeles sheyatzu berav tuv lebeis Yisrael, the fulfillment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise of va'achrei kein yetzu berechush gadol, that Hashem promised us that we would leave Mitzrayim with tremendous wealth. So again, you would think it would be enough for Bono Shalom to just get us out of Mitzrayim. We've suffered enough, and if we could just leave, that would seemingly be enough. But Hashem says, no, I promised you two things. I promised Pakod I'd get you out of Mitzrayim, and I promised you Yifkod that I was going to what? That I'm going to give you tremendous wealth upon leaving Mitzrayim. So now, let's come back to our pasuk. Let's finish the pasuk. What did the pasuk say? The pasuk said, Pakod Yifkod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will surely remember you, according to the Rachaim, positive and negative. But what's the context of the pasuk? The context is Moshe taking the bones of Yosef at Tzadik with him. So explains the Rachaim very beautifully. V'tam she'ramaz lahem davar zeh. The reason that this is hinted to in Dafka here, ulefi shehu nogei l'shvua shelo yelem davar zeh siba l'meniya leval yalu atzmos of litzad shehu trudim ba'asifas hon uti'inas kesev ezav ki yirbe. There's a concern that if the Jews are very busy fulfilling this promise of Hashem, namely to take the money from the Egyptians, so then maybe they're going to forget. Yosef was worried that when Hashem fulfills that, maybe they're going to forget to take my bones. Now, you could read that also in a more negative way or in a positive way. We have a netiya towards positivity, so we'll read it in a positive way. The negative is that Klal Yisrael are so obsessed with money that we forget about Yosef at Tzadik. That would be very tragic. And only Moshe Rabbeinu remembers to take the bones of Yosef. The positive way to read it, take a look, if you can, quickly, in Perek Yud Bey's Pasuk Lamed, Hey, a little piece that we skipped over last week. Perek Yud Bey's Pasuk Lamed Hey. The Dibur HaMaskil is Asu K'Devar Moshe. And over there, the Arachayim HaKadosh explains that when Bnei Yisrael took from the spoils of war, or when it's hinting that they're going to take from the spoils of Mitzrayim, right, the victory over Mitzrayim, it says Asu K'Devar Moshe. They did what Moshe told them to do. What does that mean? The Arachayim says, Perish, Lo Lahanas HaMamon, El mitzvas navi. The why are Klal Yisrael so busy taking money? It's uncomfortable for them. They have to lie to the Egyptians. They have to trick the Egyptians, right? Uvenei Yisrael, us Uvenei Yisrael did what Moshe Rabbeinu asked them to do, even though it was uncomfortable. Why? Because Moshe as the navi told them they have to. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them. Again, it's funny to think of it as a command, but Hashem commanded them that you're going to leave with Rechush Gadol. He quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah that if a Navi tells you to do something, then you have to listen to the Navi. Navi's not a Rav, a Navi's not a Posek, right? But the Navi's able to say something, Behorah Shah, and it's binding. So the Navi tells you to do something, you have to listen to him, everything with the exception of the Navi saying, oh, just do a Avodah Zarah for a couple of minutes. That's the one exception. So again, according to the Rechaim HaKadosh, when Bnei Yisrael were taking the money from Mitzrayim, they were doing it to fulfill the Dvar Hashem. So that makes it a little bit more understandable. That Bnei Yisrael, they're so busy trying to fulfill the command of the Navi and the Rabbona Sholem to leave with a lot of money, so they might think, listen, every item that I take from an Egyptian is in fact a mitzvah. So what's going to be with Yosef bones? What's going to happen to Yosef at Tzadik? So go back now again to the piece that we're in, Pakod Yifkod. So he says, therefore, in the context of taking the spoils of Mitzrayim, Yosef reminds them, Yosef made them take a shvuah, Lezeh Amar, Hishbiya V'gomer, Lemor Pakod Yifkod, Gam Pekida Sa'osher, Va'af Al Pikein, Tidachu Atzmechem, V'tisplu Atzmosai, Hagam Shialahem, Me'am Tzos Kein, Hefzid Kishir Masam, Mikasav Ezov. Yosef said, listen, I know you're going to have a lot of things to carry. And in fact, again, based on what we just learned, it's not just Stam, Yosef looking for Achmanis. He says everything that you take from Mitzrayim, right? Again, in a more pnimius type of way, you're taking Nitzotos out of Mitzrayim. In a more simple way, you're fulfilling the Dvar Hashem, and you're fulfilling the word of the Navi by taking from Mitzrayim. So Yosef says, I know you have a lot to carry, and you're carrying mitzvah items, but I'm also a mitzvah item. So don't forget to take me. Klal Yisrael get very busy taking the possessions of Mitzrayim, that in fact, in the end, only Moshe Rabbeinu was the one to take Yosef. That's why the Gemara in Sota says that everyone else was busy with the money, and Moshe chose a better mitzvah. He chose Yosef, which was choose a mitzvah that others don't do. And that's what the Rachaim concludes with here. He says Shabamakom Sheyiton Kesef Ezav. Moshe decided to take Arono Shel Yosef and Makomo, and he got a big reward for that. But don't think of Klal Yisrael. Again, certainly on a more pnimius way, don't think of Klal Yisrael as being, so lost in this obsession with money that they forgot about Yosef. That would be a terrible avla. That would be a terrible crime. It's that Klal Yisrael were busy fulfilling a particular mitzvah, but Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness was, he said, you know what? Everyone's doing that mitzvah. I need to try to fill in the gaps of the mitzvahs that people aren't doing. I'm just reminded now of that story, and I've definitely told it to you in the past, when the chassid came to... Since it was the Rebbe Rayatz's yard site this week, and we didn't talk about him, so the Rebbe Rayatz brings in the Likutei Diburim. He says that a chassid once came to the Baal HaTanya, and he said to the Baal HaTanya, I'm really struggling trying to figure out what I need for my Avodas Hashem. And the Baal HaTanya said to him, that's not the way a Jew approaches his Avodas Hashem. He doesn't spend time thinking about what he needs, what makes him feel good. He said the way that a Jew asks himself the question in terms of his purpose in life is that he has to ask, what am I needed for? And that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did here. Moshe Rabbeinu said, there's a mitzvah that everyone's doing, but there's another mitzvah that no one's doing. What am I needed for? I'm needed to take the bones of Yosef. And because of that, the Gemara in Sota says, because Moshe took the bones of Yosef when everyone else forgot about it, he was zochah to be buried by Hashem himself. And that's why, one of the great mysteries of the Torah, we don't even know where Moshe is buried. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, buries Moshe. So again, Moshe got a big reward for choosing the better mitzvah. So again, it's just, again, there's a lot of levels of machshava to take from this, but at the very least, to be mindful of this concept that there are different qualities of mitzvahs, and just because you're involved in something good doesn't mean that you can't be involved in something better. And a person has to make a cheshbon nefesh, and it really makes a difference. Okay, let's go on. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph, he has a very interesting piece about three different types of things that guided them through the Midbar. We think usually in terms of a cloud and a pillar of fire by night. We think usually about a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. But he says, really, there were actually three. There were three things that supported them. There was the pillar of fire, and there's the cloud that guided them. But then there was another cloud that actually paved the way for them, which is a very interesting thing. Then a little bit later, he talks about the light of Klal Yisrael that was always found in the Machaneh. They didn't actually need the light of the fire to give them vision at night. They were living amongst the Shechina. They had tremendous light at all times, and they only needed the fire to guide them when they would go beyond the Machaneh in order to take them outside of their immediate area. But in their immediate area, because they were so connected to Hashem, they were able to always be in an illuminated area. Okay, let's go to Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Let's jump ahead a little bit. Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Here's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says that when Klal Yisrael are in the water, just one moment, the Pasuk says, here, I'll read from Pasuk Tezvav, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Matitzak Elai, Dabri al Bnei Yisrael v'Yisau. They're standing by, right? They're surrounded at this point. Everyone's very nervous, and Hashem says, what are you crying about? Just move forward. Moshe, stretch out your arm, go into the sea, and everything's going to be fine. Va'ani Pasuk Yud Zayin, Hinini mechazek eslev Mitzrayim, vayavo achareim, v'ikavda b'faro, v'chol chelo, b'rechvo v'rashav. So that's what happens. The sea splits, and Klal Yisrael goes in, and Mitzrayim chases after them, and the Mitzrim are all confused. And then, after Klal Yisrael have emerged from the Yam, it says in Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayet Moshe as yado al Yam, Moshe stretches out his hand once again, Vayashav ha'am lifnos boker le'esano. That the water returns to its eisan, to its power, to its strength. But the word eitan also sounds similar to the word for tanai, right? For the word tanai, which means a condition. So if you look in Pasuk Chav Zayin, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Chav Zayin, le'esano, Chazal amru litano harishon. The Medrash says that the water returned to its original stipulation, to the original condition. What was the original condition? The original condition that Hashem made with the water was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, I'm going to allow the water to function in the way that it is at the time of creation, but there's going to be a time when I'm making a deal with you, water, that there's going to be times when I need you to split. And you have to be prepared to do so. So says Chazal, le'esano, the water fulfilled its obligation. When the water returned to crash down on the Egyptians, the water fulfilled its tanai. So says the Rechaim HaKadosh, it's very strange. V'kashali l'divrayim, ein zeh makom ha-tanai, ela b'shas ha-chaluka, shom yazkir tanai zeh. At the time the water split, that was the tanai. The tanai that Hashem made with the water, the condition that Hashem made with the water, is that when the water needs to split, the water will split. So why are we saying the water returned to its tanai, the water fulfilled the tanai, at the moment the water went back to its place? That's the water functioning b'derech hateva. That's not the water fulfilling the Dvar Hashem. So he says it could be the following. V'ulai. Ki odia kosov ki achar sheshov az yada shehu tanai shehitna imo Hashem v'lo gezeres kilyono o hagas sivyono libatal me'olam. The water, if you could say such a thing, was afraid. The water was afraid that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy us. The water will be uprooted. The water will be destroyed permanently. Why would it be that the water fulfills its task and never exists anymore? What does that even mean? It's a good question. But the water was nervous when it was removed from its place, when the water had to stand erect in order to allow Klal Yisrael to pass through. The water was nervous, this might be our end, this is the beginning of our end. So when the water went back to its place, the water realized that that was in fact the fulfillment of the Tanai. V'agam ki ha-Tanai ha-yadua lo, even though the water knew that it would have to split, so it shouldn't have been nervous that this is the water being destroyed. When the water saw that it was being turned into dry land, the water thought, maybe this is it. This is the end of the ocean. There'll never be an ocean again. There'll never be a body of water as large again. When the water was solidified in its place, maybe we've reached our end. Gamkin, right? This could be it. This is the end. U'kishachazar yada ki ein ze el tanai rishon lavad. But when the water went back to its place, then the water realized, that was the fulfillment of the tanai. That was the fulfillment of the condition that I made with God at the time of creation. Okay, very interesting to explain again why the water only realized that it was fulfilling the tanai when it went back to its natural order. But then the Rechaim says a very, very important thing. Take a look. We go just a couple lines down where he quotes the Gemara in Chulin Daf Zayin. The Rechaim HaKadosh says, what's so great about Kriyas Yamsuf anyways? After all, the Gemara in Chulin and Av Zion tells us that Rav Pinchas Ben Yair did the exact same thing. So what was so remarkable about the splitting of the sea? Pinchas Ben Yair was able to do it, to cross over a body of water. What's so impressive about this water splitting in its place? So he answers, he says, Achein, in my edition, it's the next paragraph. Achein tanai zehu bechlal hatanoim shehidna Hashem al kol maisa bereshis. Lios kefufim la Torah va'ameleha v'lasos kol asher yigzru aleihem. U'memshaltam aleihem k'memshalas habore baruchu. Those are four lines that are worth underlining. The world is bound by the Torah. And the world must respond to Talmidei Chachamim, those who have mastery over Torah. Torah has the ability, those who are the embodiment of Torah, Talmidei Chachamim, people who study Torah seriously, right? He says, Amalei, those who study it seriously, have the ability to what? To have a rulership over the world, the same way that God rules the world. A tzaddik has the ability to control all of nature. The heavens, the earth, the stars, the sun, the moon, everything. Shaltu aleim atzadikim yachidim. Ve'ein tzarech lomer merubim kasher chakak Hashem lehem beis habriya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed that tzadikim are able to, at times of need, to be able to do wondrous things as necessary. And that, he said, is the secret of the Pasuk in Yeshayah Mem Gimel. The Pasuk says, Boracha Yaakov. Boracha Yaakov, says the Medrash, Amru Chazal, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Olamo, Mi Baracha. Who created you? So the world would probably say, God, you created us. Mi yatzarcha, who formed you? Again, the world would probably say, Hashem, you formed us. But says the Pasuk, no, Boracha Yaakov. Ki'ilu, as if to say, Yisrael, the Jewish people, we make you. We tell you how to function. Va'kol b'kolach haTorah. And this is the unbelievable power of Torah. When a person has Torah, again, he's got the blueprint in his hand. He has the codes of all of the Bria. And he can manipulate those codes. He can move around the pieces as he sees fit in accordance with his sense of need to do so. That's the power that Torah gives those who learn it. Vitzeyu lamad masha kasafti b'pasuk bereishis. Go look back in bereishis to have a deeper understanding of this. Vihinei, so now we understand the answer to the question. What's so impressive about Kriyas Yamsuf? Pinchas ben Yair also. Pinchas ben Yair was also able to split the water. The answer is, yeah, but Pinchas ben Yair had Torah. This is prior to the Torah. That something like this, that the Bria would operate in an unusual way and respond to people who don't have Torah, that's a big chiddush. V'inei b'yitzias Mitzrayim, b'yitzias Yisrael Mitzrayim, adayin lo kiblo haTorah, ve'ein gezeh rasu al nivram gezeirah. The decrees that these individuals who are not Bali Torah would try to make over the world are not gezeros, are not decrees that need to be followed. And therefore the water didn't want to split initially. The water said back to Moshe, so to speak, says the Medrash, Ata nevresa b'shishi v'ani b'gimel. You're a man, you're a human being. You were created on the sixth day of creation. I was created on the third day of creation. So I'm going to stand up for you, I'm older than you. You should respect me, I'm your elder, so to speak, the water said to Moshe. Zeremez ki eino ben Torah. So what the water was saying, you're not a ben Torah. If you're a ben Torah, then you're even before me, because Torah preceded the world. But if you're just a regular human being, then you're created on the sixth day, and I'm created on the third day. That's what the water was tining. That was the complaint, so to speak, the response of the water to Moshe Rabbeinu, who tried to split the water. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the water, Moshe Rabbeinu is a Talmud Chacham, and it's true that Klai Yisrael have yet to receive the Torah, but Moshe Rabbeinu is the real deal. Moshe is in charge of you. And that's what it means when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, stretch out your right hand. A few lines later, Perish, Hero ki hu ben Torah hamisyaches la yamin. That Moshe Rabbeinu is associated with the concept of the right hand, yamin. What does yamin mean? Like it says at the end of the Torah, Mimino eshdas lamo v'gomer. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah from his right hand, so to speak. And therefore Moshe's outstretched right hand over the water is Hashem's way of saying to the water, Moshe has the Koach HaTorah. And with the Koach HaTorah, there's nothing to talk about. When the water saw that Moshe was, in fact, a Torah scholar by Hashem's standards, the water immediately jumped out of place. That a Talmud Chacham has the ability to turn, he has the right to be Toveya, to demand from any body of water, from anything in the Bria, whether it means stopping the stars, or repositioning the moon, keeping the sun in the sky, right? Like we see some of these things throughout Tanakh. A tzaddik with Torah has the ability to do this. V'timsa shekishalo ratza lechalik l'Pinchas ben Yair ulamisla ve'imo ratza lekanso pachad yamimenu. But Pinchas ben Yair was able to threaten that body of water because Pinchas ben Yair says, you have to listen to me. I have the power of Torah. And again, with the power of Torah, I am much greater and more powerful than you. And you have to listen to my gezeros. I want to just point out, I think maybe next year we're going to learn Kedushas Levi. I'm still deciding, and I'm open to hearing your suggestions. But there's a great Kedushas Levi on this question as well, in this week's parsha, which I just want to mention. Because again, he actually cites the Or HaChaim as raising this question. Again, what's the chiddush of Kriyas Yamsuf if Rav Pinchas ben Yair in Chul and Dav Zayin was able to do the same thing? So the Berditchever gives a very Berditchever like answer, what you'd expect from the Halakha Berditchever. The Levi Yitzchak Berditchev says the following. Listen to his words. He says, "Perish, machmas shahayam ra godol tanuk Hashem yisbarach mehabikia." When the water saw how happy it made HaKadosh Baruch Hu by splitting, by doing the Ratzon Hashem, and it led to what Klal Yisrael singing Shira. Lo ratza lachzor. The water didn't want to go back to its place. She'achafis she'at tamid yabasha. The water said, we want to stay dry forever because look how, when we're dry, look how Klal Yisrael responds. And look how happy kiviyachol it makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to what? Vayashav hayam lifnos boker le'esano. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the water, listen, you got to go back to your place. As much as I know how much you enjoy giving us nachas ruach, but pleasure kiviyachol you're giving a Kadosh Baruch Hu by being split, but the tenai is that you have to go back to your place. So he says this answers the Or HaChaim Kadosh's question. Rav Pinchas ben Yair split the water. So what's the chiddush? The answer is no. Once the water split the first time by Kriyas Yamsuf, and the water became self-aware of just how much kavod it gives to Hashem when it splits, so then it was easy for the water to split. In the times of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, says the Berdichever, these other bodies of water throughout history split. When they already saw how much pleasure they gave to Hashem by Kriyas Yamsuf, Rav Pinchas ben Yair's body of water was running to get out of the way. It was so excited to get out of the way, because again, it was building off of the remembrance of the nachas ruach it gave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Kriyas Yamsuf. But again, until that happened the first time was a much greater chiddush, because the Yam didn't realize just how important it would be in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it to split. So by Rav Pinchas ben Yair already, it wasn't such a chiddush. It was obvious to the water what kvod shemayim and what nachas ruach it gives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by getting out of the way. Okay, second answer to the Or HaChaim's question. Take a look at the next little piece. Umitzrayim nasim. The pasuk says that as the water came back to its place, the Egyptians were fleeing likraso. The pasuk says Mitzrayim nasim likraso. They were running towards the water. Why would they run towards the water? They should probably try to run away from the water. Says the Rachaim Akadosh Perish, Shagam Shahayu Nasim Mimenu, even though they were trying to run away from it, Kishra'u Shashav Leisana, when they saw that it was returning to its strength, to its place, Afal Pichain Likraso. Part of the miracle was that Hashem made them whichever direction they tried to go, the water would come at them from that direction. Perish Hayahayam Balahem Lemul Makum Shanasim Shama. Wherever they would run, the water would confront them head on. And again, I think part of the imagery here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to the Egyptians, you're not going to get away with this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, right, like the pasuk says, Don Anochi, I'm going to take to task those who took advantage of the Jews. So at some point, while the Egyptians have been, you know, in a roundabout way, some of them have been escaping the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but sof, everyone has to come face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and answer for the choices that he's made in this world. And therefore, while the Egyptians tried to run, likraso, mamish, head on. Wherever they went, they found themselves running right into the trap. And he says the same thing was true with regard to Korach v'Adaso. When they were trying to run from the gaping hole in the earth that was swallowing them up, wherever they went, that's where they were swallowed up. So again, it's an important mussar in just reminding ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, and you can't escape HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if it looks for a while that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed you to find loopholes in your Avodas Hashem and to get away with things, just realize at some point everyone has to come face to face with the Midas Hadin and face that reality. The pasuk continues and says, "Vayina Er Hashem." The next dibra maschil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayina Er Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was stirring them up. Hashem was churning Mitzrayim. Vayina Er Hashem, the Egyptians. The pasuk says, "Vayina Er Hashem Es Mitzrayim Besochayam." So the Rachaim says two pshatim. What does it mean that Hashem was churning the Egyptians in the sea? He says the first pshat is that even someone who was an expert swimmer had no chance. Again, just to create a little bit of an imagery, some images in our mind to be able to meditate upon when we hear the psukim this Shabbos in Shul, to remind ourselves that the Egyptians were trying to run and they ran right into it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the greatest swimmers and didn't give them even a fighting chance. Perish, letzad sheyesh b'nei adam b'kiyan lashut b'yam. There are some people who have the expertise of swimming in the waters. Hagam sheyah hayam b'chol takfo g'varaso yishakmu lasum bo derech. There are people who know how to survive even very rough waters. They're experts, they're trained, they have many Olympic gold medals around their neck, right, for swimming. And yet, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's time for you to, again, receive the Midas Adin, you receive the Midas Adin, there's no two ways about it. L'zeh Amar HaKosov, can I get Eilu? So in response to the Olympic swimmers, the pasuk says, V'yina Er, HaKadosh Baruch Hu churned the water to such a degree that Bitel Mehem HaKalachahu, that even the greatest swimmers could not survive for even a moment longer than anyone else in the raging waters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says the second pshat might be that Mitzrayim in the Pasuk, when the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was churning Mitzrayim, it doesn't refer to the Egyptians, because then it would probably say Mitzrim. It says Mitzrayim. So who's Mitzrayim? He says, Rachaim says, based on Chazal, Sha'amru ki Mitzrayim meis husar shal Mitzrayim. The ministering angel, the Malach of Mitzrayim also, so to speak, met his death by the And that obviously is a great celebration for Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Chavtes, Perek Yudale, Pasuk Chavtes. Uvenei Yisrael halchu. Pasuk says that Bnei Yisrael walked right through the water. Bnei Yisrael halchu beyabasha besochaya. Now this is the second time that it's saying this, and the Rosh Chaim wants to know, why does it have to tell us a second time? You already told me that they went through on the Yabasha. Why do you have to tell me a second time that Bnei Yisrael halchu beyabasha besochayam? So he explains, he says, ulai ki achavein lomer sheyodu ha-mitzrim as hadavar hazeh. Hashem is trying again to really teach the Mitzrim a lesson by showing this contrast. What's the contrast? The Egyptians are drowning, and they're fully aware of the fact that Klal Yisrael is perfectly fine. Ki Yisrael avru be'abasha v'hamayim hayu lehem choma. The Egyptians get it finally. Look how the Jews are completely protected, and look how the Egyptians in that same environment are being completely destroyed. Ve'im yardu tachtios eretz uvezeh yodu Hashem. And in this way, they would come to recognize Hashem, and that is really the goal of everything that all of these parshios are about. V'yodu Mitzrayim, as the pasuk says. V'zula zeli argishu b'davar. And if not for the contrast of Klal Yisrael on dry land while they're drowning, then they wouldn't get it. So the only way to make sure v'yodu Mitzrayim, that Mitzrayim should get it, that Hashem runs the world once and for all, they had to see the contrast right before their eyes, in their dying moments, when they can't fight any longer, to come to the absolute realization that Klal Yisrael will emerge, and we are going to meet our fate in the Yam. And then he quotes from Ibn Ezra, who responded very fiercely to those people who tried, namely the History Channel and Discovery Channel and other people from the ancient world, who tried to discredit this miracle by saying that, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu knew exactly when the tide was low and when the tide was high, and he timed it well so that Klal Yisrael would be able to walk through. So he says, V'tzei Lamad, look at Ibn Ezra, Bimashito meha mishugoyim, foolish individuals who said that Moshe Hayyodea Shal Shabo Yismai Tayam. Yeah, Moshe knew when the waters would recede and would be low, and it would be easy for Klal Yisrael to pass, but Hevri Yisrael Bo So Ace, and the Mitzrim didn't know how the waters were going to rise up again, and that's why the Mitzrim drowned. All of this to discredit the precision of the miracle, which is part of the reason I think the Rosh Chaim is spending all this time showing us every detail of, look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was Toveya from the Mitzrim, and each bit of their suffering is calculated, like Rashi also has many places throughout the Parsha, hints in Az Yashir, V'chulu. So this is the response, so to speak. Mofeze yasir shigaon das zo. So all of these miracles that I'm describing, says the Rosh Chaim, is the response to this foolish way of thinking. Ki holchu be'abasha v'amayim choma, that they walked through perfectly dry land. It wasn't muddy at all, as the Rosh Chaim writes elsewhere, in a small little piece elsewhere. And not only that, the walls turned that piece about the mud is the first time it says b'zochayim be'abasha. In Yudalid Chaf Beis, he says it was completely dry, not muddy at all. So if Moshe is just working with low tide, then the water is still going to be up to their ankles, something of the sort. So this is the response to those crazy people who think that this was all natural, there was nothing natural here. This was a complete supernatural occurrence, the water turned into walls, and this should come to uproot those who try to deny the miracles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and claim that everything happened here in a natural fashion. Okay, Pasuk Lamed. Pasuk Lamed, very famous pasuk. We say it in davening. Vayosha Hashem bayomahu es Yisrael miyad Mitzrayim. Hashem saved Klal Yisrael bayomahu. On that day, Hashem saved Klal Yisrael from the Egyptians. On that day, Hashem saved us. I thought Hashem took us out 7 days earlier. Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim quite a few days ago. So what do you mean bayomahu? Now we're being saved from Mitzrayim. So he says, Perish bayomahu haisa tshua v'lo kodem. Yes. The Jewish people didn't really experience Chayrus until Kriyas Yamsuf, which is why Kriyas Yamsuf is such a big deal for Klal Yisrael, why we incorporate it into our tefillah every day. That was really the moment of freedom. Hagam sheyatzu Mitzrayim lo hayu botchim ba'atzman meham. But it wasn't until this moment that the Jews really felt the confidence that they were free. If you look in the writings of the Svarno and the Chizkuni, the Svarno writes the following lashon. The Svarno says, until this moment that they saw the Egyptians suffering, kiad es mosam ha-Yisrael ka'avadim barchim. The Jews, says the Svarno, saw themselves as fleeing slaves until they saw their masters dead in the water. And it was only in that moment that Klal Yisrael really felt free. So that's the Vayosha, Vayomahu. that it was at that moment that Klal Yisrael finally really felt free. Chizkuni has a similar idea. Chizkuni says, Oso ayom haisa Yeshua shleima. That it was at that point that Yeshua was really complete. Because again, until they saw the downfall of their enemies, they were living with a lot of fear. That maybe they're going to come back. Maybe the Egyptians will still take us back into captivity. So it was only when they finally saw it was really over that they were able to celebrate. Okay, let's go to Perek Tezvav Pasuk Beis. Aziv Azimras Kav Ayhili Lishua. This is a very Chassidish Shavart. And I say that because the Baal Shem Tov said a very similar thing. Baal Shem Tov Mamish said a very similar thing to this. We say in Az Yashir in the second Pasuk, Az Yashir Moshe Vene Yisrael, Sashir Azos LaHashem, Vayamru Leimur, Ashir LaHashem Ki Ga'o Ga'o, Sus Racho Ramah Vayam, Aziv Azimras Yah, Vayhili Lishua, Ze Eli Va'anvehu, Elohei Avi, Va'arom Emenu. This is Mamish, a major Yesod in Avodas Hashem. We have a relationship with Hashem because of our Avos. We also, hopefully, have a relationship with a God because of ourselves. It's very important that we spend our life, obviously, working, walking in the footsteps of the Avos, but we have to have our own independent relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says that's what this pasuk is telling us by the Shira. Look how the Jews put themselves, their personal connection and experience with God, before the relationship that they have by way of the Avos. Aziv Azimas Ka Vayhi Li Lishua Zeke Li Vanveyu. Says the Rachaim HaKadosh, Hine Seder Ha'omdim Lefnei Hashem Leshorer Uleshabeach Ulespalel Ulehaschil B'dvarim HaMuskola MeHashem Elov V'achar Kach B'muskol MeHashem La'avosav. The proper way to sing to Hashem, to praise Hashem, to daven to Hashem, is to start with your relationship with Hashem. What does Hashem mean to you? And then afterwards to talk about what Hashem meant to you by way of the Avos. He says, this is not strange to us at all. This is in fact how the Anshei Knesset HaGedola set up Shmon Esrei. Elokeinu, ve'achar kach, Elokei Avoseinu. V'lezeh sidru v'aschalas hashir. So this song, the Oz Yashir follows the exact same pattern. Mashigia mituvo. We start with that which we got from Hashem directly. V'amru. Aziv v'zimras kovayihi li Yeshua. V'hu mashinis chased Hashem imahem. That Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim after 210 years. We left early, we didn't have to stay for that additional 190 years, the full 400 years, right? Keitz is Gematria 190. So we got out 190 years early. This is because of Hashem's mercy. As I've explained elsewhere. First, talk about your own relationship with God, and then talk about, you know, tangentially what Hashem means to you by way of your extended family, namely the Avos. And again, this is what exactly we do in Shmona Esrei, Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoseinu. And he says this also explains the Kan Amru Lashon Yachid Kinasu Kulam Ki Ish Echad Kemosha Parashti BePasuk VaYamru LeMor. If you go back to Pasuk Aleph on the words VaYamru LeMor Ashira, he says that VaYamru LeMor is very. It's a very cute image in my mind. Maybe cute's not the right word, but he says the Jews turned to one another and they said LeMor. Let's make sure we sing together. They turned VaYamru LeMor. They said to one another, let's sing. Everyone sing on tune. Everyone say get the words right. No one go too fast, no one sing a different tune or different words, right? They sang together, Vayomru Leimor, they said to one another, let's sing in a very beautiful way to Hashem, and that's why it says Ashira, Lashon Yachid, because they sang together. So that's what he's referencing here when he says again, it's Lashon Yachid, that they sang together, they bonded together, but it's very interesting. Dafka, the piece that he's telling us about, you know, having your own personal relationship with Hashem, he's saying at the same time it's still in the context of the Avos, and it's still with everyone singing together. But sof kol sof, again, the starting point of my religious self has to be myself, has to be my relationship with Hashem. Zekeli va'anveyo, and then only afterwards Elokei Avi va'arom emenu. Okay, next piece, Hashem Ish Milchama. Hashem is a man of war. Hashem sometimes has to use Midas Hadin. But as we explained at length at the beginning of Parshas Ve'era, Hashem's essential nature is kindness, is goodness. Hashem doesn't want to bring anything bad to the world. and it's always in response to the bad choices that we've made that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to turn into an Ish Milchama. So how does it highlight in this Pasuk that even at the moment that Hashem has to punish humanity, punish the greatest nation in the world, Mitzrayim, that Hashem still has the Midah of Yudkei Vavkei? That's exactly what the words say. Hashem Ish Milchama. Perish gam b'midas harachamim asim melchama. That when Hashem has to do melchama, He does so even with a midas harachamim. Ve'lo sheyishtan mipnei zechas v'shalom. Ela Hashem shemo. Let's never forget, over and over again, 1,820 times in the Torah, Yud Hey Vav Hey, Hashem's name of Chesed and Rachamim. Hashem only wants to bring goodness and kindness to the world. And He quotes the pasuk in Malachi, which is really, it's a really good pasuk to file away in terms of this idea. What does the Pasuk say? We know the Pasuk in a different way, but he's emphasizing the word Hashem. Right? The Pasuk says, Ani Hashem lo shanisi. I am Hashem and I don't change. So we focus on the fact that Hashem doesn't change. But he's focusing on the word Hashem. That Midah, Yudke Vavke, doesn't change. That means even when Hashem is punishing us, it's because it's good for us, given the choices that we made. This is the right response. That Hashem needs to punish us. But Hashem never punishes us because He hates us. Hashem never does anything towards us because He dislikes us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem. Ani Hashem. Yudkei Vavkei. Midas HaRachamim. Lo Shanisi. I never move away from that. Even as I'm drowning the Egyptians. Hashem Ish Milchama. It's a very chashuv yesod to think about. No matter how bad the situation is, it's always coming from the Midah of Hashem. Even when it's superficially Midas Adin. Or the other way, of course, you can learn it is what? That while I'm punishing the Egyptians, I'm using Midas HaRachamim towards Klal Yisrael. So that's Hashem, Ish Mochama. Ish Mochama to the Egyptians, and the Midah of Hashem towards the Jewish people. Okay, let's turn the page. A short but very, also really, really important piece in terms of how to be frustrated by Hashem. What's the right way to be frustrated by Hashem? Do we have to just never complain, never voice our concerns about the way that Hashem is running the world? Obviously, we know that Hashem knows what He's doing, but I also have to daven to Him and present my frustrations the way that I see them. So, if you look in Pasuk Chav Dalet, Perek Tezvav Pasuk Chav Dalet, give everyone a second to find it. Perek Tezvav Pasuk Chav Dalet. This is already Klal Yisrael come to Mara. He asks, why is it sometimes called Mara, sometimes it's called Marasa. He deals with that in the piece right before this. But then the Rachayim addresses the words of complaint of Klal Yisrael. Vayilonu ha'am al Moshe lemor manishta. The Jews complained to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, what should we drink? And Moshe cries out to Hashem, and Hashem turns bitter water into sweet water. The word Vayilonu is what the Rechayim wants to focus on. Because, and you can totally miss this here. I mean, Klal Yisrael complain, and then Hashem responds, and everything seems okay. But the Rechayim HaKadosh says, a Jew has a right to sometimes be frustrated, and a Jew has a right to voice an opinion, but you also have to know how to complain. It's Mamish and Yana Diyoma. You look at, and you know, I hate like bringing politics and things into our learning. Our learning should just be pure, but I guess Torah is given to us to know how to interact with the world. So let's not pretend that it's not. But if you look at what's happening in the world these days, and you look at the way that people are violently rioting against anything that is slightly different than what they believe, listen, sometimes there's an evil in the world that has to be fought against. But sometimes there are things where you have a difference of opinion, and the way you voice your opinion is critical. It's critical to have success. If you're going to voice your opinion and it's just going to be understood as a complaint, then you're whining and complaining, no one's going to want to listen to you. So the Rechayim HaKadosh says, Klal Yisrael messed up here. You don't have water? That's a very reasonable taina. But how do you voice your opinion when you're frustrated that you don't have water? Do I complain? Or do I respectfully turn to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, Moshe, you know, this is a difficulty for us. They have a right to raise that difficulty. But what's the language that you use in raising that concern? Says the Rechayim, Vayilonu lemor, Yisaper kasav bignusam, Kibau beriv. They came with animosity. They came seeking machlokas. Ve'ein akasav makbid ela atalunosam. The Torah is only particular over the fact that what? Vayilonu, that they were complaining. prat ora man nishteh lo yakbir Hashem. The fact that they want to know what to drink is entirely reasonable. If they would have just said, God, what are we supposed to drink? Without that nasty attitude that they were giving Moshe Rabbeinu by complaining as if Moshe was an idiot and didn't realize that they didn't have water, right? So that's why they got themselves into a little bit of trouble here. So again, it's a really important yesod in both directions. You have a right to voice your opinion. You have a right to say, I don't think this is fair. But the way that a person voices that opposition and raises that concern has to be done in a way that's respectful to Torah leadership and is respectful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Again, we're allowed to ask questions on Hashem. We're allowed to daven to Hashem. We're allowed to cry out to Hashem. But again, there has to be a certain line that a person can't cross in raising that concern. Okay, in the next piece, when the Pasuk talks about listening to Hashem, Vayomim Shemoa Tishma Lakol Hashem Lokecha, Vayasha Be'inav Tase, Vazanta Limitzosav, Vishamarta Kol Chukav. A lot of different Lashonos here. Right? Lilmor, Lalame, Lishmor, Velasos. He says there's really four dimensions when it comes to the mitzvah of interacting with Torah. You have to learn Torah, you have to teach Torah, you have to guard the Torah, you have to do the Torah. And he writes in the middle of the paragraph, this is on Pasuk Chavav. He writes in the middle of the paragraph, see if you can find it, right after he says, Lilmod Lelamed Lishmor Velasos. He says, Gam Lirmos Mehem. Look at this beautiful line. And again, we've seen many times that the Rechaim HaKadosh's just sweetness in describing learning Torah, the love of Torah, just oozes off the page. Look what he says here. Shia Esek V'gam Lirmos Lehem, Shia Esek HaTorah Becheshek Gadol. When a person learns Torah, why all these Lashonos? That a person should be Shamoa, Tishma, Lekol, Hashem Lokecha, Vayashar Be'inav Tase, Vazantel Mitzvosav. Again, each one is perhaps referring to a different aspect of the Limud Torah process, but it's also saying, just look how a person can get swept up by it and so immersed in it, that he studies the Torah with a great cheshek for it. Shagam Shodenu Lomed Yisava Lilmod Od. A person should never say to himself, I've learned enough, thank you very much. I've studied enough Torah, I put in enough hours a day, I know enough ideas in Torah. That's not how it works. Learning Torah should generate a desire for more learning of Torah. Mitzvah goreres mitzvah. Right? The excitement for Torah should generate further excitement for Torah. It shouldn't become stale as you get more connected to it. You should only become thirstier for it. So again, Esek HaTorah should be with Becheshek Gadol. Shagam Sho Denu Lo Med Yisav Lil Morod. Even though you already learn, you should want to learn more. That I don't, God forbid, have a feeling that, you know, I'm satisfied, or I become repulsed by my learning because I've learned so much that I burn out. Again, if I'm learning Torah the way it's meant to be learned, I'm going to be more interested in as life goes on. It's not going to be a passing fad from Shana Aleph or Shana Bet even, right? But it's something that I take with me for the rest of my life, and that thirst for Torah grows stronger and stronger. He says at the end of this paragraph, Ki ani Hashem rofecha, the pasuk says, if you keep Torah, and if you study it seriously, and if you're dedicated to it, then I will not make you sick with any of the illnesses that I placed upon Mitzrayim, because I am Hashem, your doctor, your healer. He explains, not only will Hashem protect you from what? From the more serious illnesses that Hashem himself specifically brings upon a person. But he says Hashem will protect you even from those illnesses that Hashem doesn't monitor very precisely. What does that mean? Perish. Letzad chalayim she'inam bidei shamayim. The Gemara says in Ksuba Staf Lamed that there are certain things that happen because of our bad choices, not from Hashem. If, God forbid, a person all of a sudden wakes up one day, right, and he didn't do anything. A person smokes and he gets lung cancer, so it's not such a chiddush. But if a person one day wakes up and something's out of whack, so and he didn't do anything particular wrong to have that, you know, occur, so that's a sign that that's bidei shamayim. Now again, why bidei shamayim might be he's being punished for his sins, bidei shamayim might be yisurim shel ahava, but again, that's bidei shamayim. That type of illness, that strange sudden illness, is bidei shamayim. But if you go outside on a cold day without a coat, and you're standing in the rain, and then you're sniffling the next day, there the Gemara says, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mitzina mupachim. Everything's bidei shamayim except for the common cold, except for a person who, literally, hot and cold. A person who puts himself in a hot environment and gets sick from that, he gets dehydrated. So that's not God's fault. You should have taken a canister of water with you. Or a person who goes out in the cold and gets sick. That's not Hashem's fault. That's your fault. That was being stupid. So therefore, Ki ani Hashem Rofecha, Hashem says, if you make a serious commitment to Torah, not only will I protect you from the big illnesses, but I'll even heal you from the things that I don't really, that I'm not really osek in. Perish hagam sheyikir lecha mikra mehem. Even if one of these, again, it's hard to say such a thing, right? Because you know, those of us who believe in the Baal Shem Tov's understanding of Hashgacha Pratis, that everything is precise. But so to speak, if something mikra happens to you, if something unusual happens to you, right? Something happens to, sorry, not unusual. Something happens to us where Hashem's not actively involved. Ani arapecha mehem. I'll still get involved and heal you from those things. So again, it's a major promise, a haftacha, that Hashem gives to those who study the Torah very seriously. Okay, I want to finish up with just a couple final pieces. A couple final pieces. Let's turn to the Mun. Let's go to Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Dalet. We know that Klal Yisrael are traveling around, and of course they're hungry, and they say, if only we would have died in Mitzrayim, or Chaim HaKadosh writes a little bit earlier at the beginning of Perek Tes Zayin, that Klal Yisrael are saying it's better, anything's better than dying of hunger. There's a Pasuk in Eicha that says, Tovim hayu chal lecher mechalal le'rav, that basically everything, any death is better than dying of hunger. So Klal Yisrael said, we'd rather have died in Mitzrayim for the sin of not wanting to leave Mitzrayim, he says, than to die of hunger. So Hashem says, fine, I'll give you the man. And then the Pesukim describe a little bit about how the man works. Or Chaim talks about the Gemara in Yom HaDaf Ayin Hay, that the Tzaddikim had the man delivered to their doorstep, and those who were less righteous had to go out to retrieve the man. But then the Pasuk tells us very clearly that the man is a nisayon, that the man is a test. What's the test of the man? In Pasuk Dalet it says, Laman anasenu hayilech b'sorasi imlo. The man is a test to see if you'll walk in the ways of Torah or not. How does eating man translate into a test of whether or not you're going to walk in the ways of Torah? So the Ora Chaim says two things, and they're both mamish relevant and very, very nogeya to one's avodas Hashem. He says, Laman anasenu, in two lines, look what he writes. Ki lecha min hashamayim lo yitzarech shum tikun. One of the great things about the man is that it was ready to eat. Now again, the Gemara discusses, did they have to grind it? Did they have to process it? The Gemara says, according to one man damar, the less righteous you are, the more you have to prepare the man. But the pashtus is, the man was edible, it was ready to go. So says the Archaim HaKadosh, lecha min hashamayim, bread that falls from heaven, lo yitzarech shum tikun, doesn't require kneading and baking, right, or cooking. It's ready to go. And therefore, Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, when they ate the man, had a lot of free time. Think about how much free time people would have if they didn't have to work, if they didn't have to make a parnasa. So many people spend the great majority of their life at work. So imagine, what would I do with all of that free time? Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, that's the nisayon of the man. Klal Yisrael, you have all the time in the world. Hayilech b'torasi. Are you going to spend the time learning Torah, practicing Torah? Are you going to be involved in Torah? Do you know how to use the gift of free time? That's the nisayon of the man. Amazing to think that's the nisayon of the man. How do I use my free time? When I have, so to speak, time that's panoi, that's free, do I believe in the concept of free time? Do I feel that I need to make every moment of my life meaningful? That's the nisayon of the man. Again, a person has to be normal. Taking a break is also part of walking in the way of Torah. But that's the nisayon of the man. When they're pnuya mikol, the era, Hashem says, I want to see hayelech b'torasi. Are they going to walk in the ways of the Torah? That's nisayon number one. Nisayon number two of the man, also something that, again, living in a world where we sometimes think we're in control of everything, we have to remind ourselves over and over again. The pashup shot in the nisayon of the man, I think, is probably what he says in the second piece. Od yirtzal ze haderech tam devar yom biyomo laman anasenu. What's the test of the man? What the pasuk says. The man fell for Klal Yisrael day in and day out in order to test them. That is the test. The fact that you don't stockpile man. You don't have a bank account to get comfortable with. Every single day, a person has to look to the heavens and wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to deliver your food. And that is a tremendous nisayon of bitachon. Kishiyat tzarech lo b'chol yom lebezonosav. That I maintain a constant connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That I realize that even if I have millions of dollars in the bank, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is literally sustaining me and feeding me on a daily basis. To wrap your head around that and to really live with that is a real nisayon. That's the nisayon of the man. And that's why they put away a jar of man. It's in Senes HaMan. To remind us of that reality. It's something that, so to speak, was hidden away in the hearts of Klal Yisrael, not only the physical flask that was hidden away with man, but that idea was hidden away for us to live with in all times. Okay, we come to the final perek, perek in Zion, and we encounter Amalek. So let's conclude with Amalek. So I didn't do the thing that I told you that I was going to do, that Yoni Fleischman reminded me to do. So now we'll tie it in over here. I probably could have shared it when we asked the question about Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, but we'll share it over here. I'll share it with you outside, just for the sake of time. It's already late. But if you look in Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Aleph, which I want to read inside, take a look. Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Aleph. Vayachanu b'refidim ve'ein mayim. They came to a place called Refidim, and there was no water. Says the Or Chaim HaKadosh, we know the Gemara says, ein refidim el rifyon yadayim min haTorah. Refidim, according to one Manda Amar, was the name of the place. According to the second Manda Amar, which is Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Eliezer says it's the name of the place, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't look up the Gemara today, but I think that's how it goes. And Rabbi Yoshua says, no, Refidim is a lashon of Rafu Yadeya Min HaTorah. So Ritzvi Pesach Frank in the Har Tzvi asked the question, well, how does he know that it's anything other than the name of the place? And how does Rabbi Yeshua know that, oh, Refidim? Oh, that must be that Rifyon Yadayim Min HaTorah. How did he know to make that interpretation of the name Refidim? Okay, so look in the Har Tzvi from Tzvi Pesach Frank for the answer to that question. But that's what we normally think. Refidim, yeah, Amalek caused us to weaken our hands from Torah. Yechavin Achasav Lomar, Kishirafu Yadayim Min HaTorah, Shinim Shal Alamayim, Lezegam Hashem, Mona Mehem Hamayim, Mida Kneged Mida. So now we understand the pasuk. Vayachanu b'refidim. The Jews had lost their kesher to Torah, which is compared to mayim. Bavakam yud zayin amad aleph ein mayim el Torah. So if the Jews lost their kesher to Torah, which is water, then mida keneged mida, their punishment is going to be ein mayim. That there's not going to be any water. So now that we're mentioning again the importance of our connection to Torah to fight off all the evil in the world. And we mentioned earlier the power of Torah to split the sea. So let me mention the Or HaChaim HaKadosh that somehow I missed in Parsha Shemos, and I apologize. What's the Or HaChaim in Parsha Shemos? I'm not going to read it inside, but you'll take a look. It's in Perek Gimel Pasuk Ches, a very famous and important Or HaChaim that, again, we skipped over, so I apologize. What does he say there? He asks the following question. He says, why did Hashem wait for the Jewish people to get to the 49th level of Tumah before taking us out? And some of us discussed the question Tuesday night in the Tzidkas HaTzadik Shir. Well, why did Hashem have to wait? Why did Hashem wait so long? So he explains the concept of being Mavar Nitzotzos, that in Mitzrayim there were fallen sparks of Kedusha that had to be elevated, and the Jews had to go down into deep, dark places in order to lift up those fallen sparks. And because of that, Klal Yisrael, as a whole, reached the 49th level of Bina, connected the 49 levels of Tumah. That's why the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the embodiment of Klal Yisrael, had 49 levels of understanding. So 49 out of 50 dimensions were retrieved. So the question now becomes, why couldn't they go to level 50? If they would have gone to level 50, then so to speak, all the work would be done. We wouldn't need all these other galios. Mitzrayim, which is the embodiment of all of galios, would have been completed. We could have had the geula. Why didn't they go to level 50? Why are we used to thinking, lo yuchal ismameya? They couldn't survive level 50. Why couldn't they survive level 50? So the Rachayim writes in Perek Gimel Pasuches, because they did not have the Torah. And if you don't have the Torah, you cannot go on such dangerous missions. But if you have the Torah, you can and you will. And the Rachayim HaKadosh says that's exactly what's happening in our world today. In the Ikvus of the Mashiach, we're going on that mission. We're trying with the power of Torah to finish up the job. The Rachayim says we are going to fall into level 50. So if you wonder, is our world worse than Mitzrayim? The Rachayim HaKadosh says, very possibly. Our world is worse than Mitzrayim. But like I mentioned earlier this week, from the Divrei Chaim to his daughter when she was complaining that Russia, right, that the Russians are worse than the Egyptians. It's worse in Russia than it is than it was in Mitzrayim. And he says it's not true because we have the Torah, and with the power of Torah we can be metakin even level 50. We can correct Amalek. We can do everything that a Jew needs to do in this world. So let's finish off Amalek. Turn the page. Go to the last. Go to the very end of the parsha. The final thing in the parsha. Vayavu Amalek, Pasuk Ches, Perek Yizayin, Pasuk Ches. Vayavu Amalek, Amalek came to fight against us like we just learned. Liyos in its Atzlu B'Torah Shinim Shalamayim U'Leish. Not only did the Jews not have water, but Amalek came to fight against us. Why is that? Mida Keneged Mida. So he says, because Torah is compared to water, and Torah is compared to fire. And because the Jews did not study Torah, and they certainly did not passionately study Torah, the fire of Torah, so they lost water, they were thirsty, as we just saw, and not only that, the Eish, which is the Muhammad of Amalek, came against them. It's very interesting to compare Amalek to Eish, because Eish is compared, I gave a shir last Thursday night, some of you were there, Eish is compared to Gaiva and Kas, and that's the Mida of Amalek. So it's very interesting that the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is connecting Amalek to the concept of Eish. But again, it's Mida Keneged Mida. If you don't have the Mayim of Torah, if you don't have the Eish of Torah, then you end up thirsty for water, and you end up having to fight against the Eish of Amalek. Who's the response to Amalek? Vayomer Moshe El Yoshua, the second to last piece. Vayomer Moshe El Yoshua, Moshe turns to Yoshua. Why Yoshua? Why is Yoshua the response to Amalek? Because Yoshua is the greatest student of Torah, maybe whoever was. Nischake Moshe, kishehikira avon shu letzad bitul mochemes haTorah. When Moshe realized that it was a lack of Torah that was causing this battle against Amalek, Amar ein roi letzeis lemochama ella Yehoshua. Yeshua is the best candidate to fight against Amalek because Yeshua lo yamish mitocha oel. Yeshua never left Moshe Rabbeinu's side. He lo yamish. He never left the oel of Torah. His whole mahus was expressed through that pasuk of lo yamish mitocha oel. That Yeshua never left. That Yeshua never left the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. I'll tell you something that Neil Bodner told me in the year Tufshin Ayin, when he was in 11th grade. A beautiful remez. Neil Bodner pointed out, for those of you who know Neil, the son of Chaim Bodner, used to be in our shir, he pointed out that Lo Yamish is Gematria Yehoshua. Lo Yamish is 391, which is the same Gematria of Yehoshua. So again, this was Yeshua is the perfect candidate to, again, to fight against Amalek, who's causing us to leave the tents of Torah. Yeshua is the one who pulls us back together. It also happens to be, like we said earlier, by the Shira, Klal Yisrael was already coming together, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. It was a certain unity that they were recognizing as they became a nation that they needed to have. And that's a big part of Melchemes Amalek. Again, it's a Purim Shir, not for now. But Haman is all about causing Pirud. Amalek's all about pulling Klal Yisrael apart. And Kabbalah Satorah, to be true to Torah, we need to have Achdus. Ki Ish Echad V'Yichan Sham Yisrael Neged Har Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad is a prerequisite for Torah. So therefore, I'll just add a little remez to what Neil said, right? Lo Yamish is Gematria Yeshua, but Lo Yamish and Yeshua is also Gematria Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. That again, the way to fight against the Malik, whose whole Mahus is Pirud, is to pull the Jews apart. Like Haman says, oh, Yeshno Am Echad, Mefuzar, Mefurad, they're all over the place. The response to a Malik, which again is embodied by Yeshua and his commitment to Torah, is also in those words, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, Klal Yisrael standing united by Kabbalah Sator. So that's the response to Amalek. And he says, in the final piece, V'simba Azne Yeshua, whisper into the ears of Yeshua. Why do you have to tell it specifically to Yeshua? Because he says, the Rechaim says, maybe Yeshua is going to get a little depressed. He's going to go and fight against Amalek. He's going to weaken Amalek, but he's not going to completely destroy Amalek. So Hashem says, don't worry, it's going to be a process. Macho, Emche, Timche. Macho is going to be in the times of Shaul HaMelech. Emcha is going to be in the times of Mordechai, the Purim story. And then, Mitachas Shemayim, you'll finally destroy Amalek completely. You'll finally be able to finish them off in the La'asid, he says, the last line. Va'achas La'asid, the final battle of Amalek will be in the future. And that's Mitachas Shemayim when Amalek will be defeated once and for all. So I know I ended this year a few times already, and I always do this. But I told you I have to tell you about snow. I have to tell you where there is a remez for snow day, Minatora, Minayin. So here's the remez. Here's the remez for a snow day. The chashivas of a snow day in Torah. And I'm not saying that as a joke. I'm being very serious. The chashivas of a snow day, the chashivas of a snow day is that a snow day teaches us the koach of tefillah. Because every kid, including my own children, went to bed last night, davening to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should make it snow. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu made it snow. Hashem listens to the tefillos of children. And again, I'm not saying that as a joke. If you look in Perek Yud-Zayin, Pasuk Gimel, again, I'll say it outside, but why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu make them so thirsty and put them in such a difficult Nisayon? And he says, you'll take a look in Pasuk Gimel, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Jews to get used to asking Hashem for things. That if there's a problem, you daven. And that's why Moshe's all upset, because they're not getting that. They're just complaining and complaining and complaining to Moshe instead of turning to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ask Hashem for what you want, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu will answer. So I want to just end with a comment from, and this with this will really end, from the Ben Ishchai. I don't even know if anyone's on the phone anymore. But if you're out there, the Ben Ishchai in the Benayo, which is his writings on the Agarata, one of his volumes, he has Ben Yehoyada and Benayhu. So in the Benayhu, on the Agarata, this is in this is a Gemara in Tanis on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis. In Tanis Chav Gimel Amid Beis, it says that there was a terrible drought, and the farmers were very nervous that their crops were going to get ruined. So the rabbi sent children to an einikol of Choni Amagil to try to get the rain to start up again. So asks the Ben Yishcha, Yesh Lomar, Lama Shochem Lo Tinokos Shal Beis Rabban? Why do you send the school children to try to get the tzaddik of the door to bring the rain? Ve'ein shochem lo anashim gedolim. Why not send the adults? The adults, the people who are responsible, the kids aren't putting the food on the table. It's the parents who are worried that they don't have parnasa. So why not send the adults to go and petition the tzaddik to make sure that it rains? Says the Ben Ishchai, and I read you his words. Ve'nir li b'siyata d'shmaya. The Farish B'derech Tzros, he says, I'll explain, you know, in a somewhat joking fashion, but it's not a joke, it's a Chashuv Yesod. Ki tinokel shal beis rabin yesh la mitzad tivam tzar gadol leilich la beis ha-sefer. Children don't like going to school. Usmechem biyom shal batala. And children love vacation. Umasai yelehem yom batala. So when do kids get off from school? Hu yom ha-geshamim. It's when there's a rain day, or a snow day. She'ein holchem bo. When there's a snow day, the kids don't go to school. Why? Because the geshem makes the roads a big mess, and the kids can't get to school. So therefore, they understood that if a child goes and davens for rain or for snow, in our case, that tefillah has a better chance of being answered than the parents who need parnasa to literally save their lives and sustain themselves. So this is the kalach of tefillah. And again, we see it in this week's parsha, that Hashem gave Klal Yisrael nisyonos, that they should be able to talk to Him. That Hashem shouldn't be an abstract idea. That if you need something, you ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu for what you need. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu will readily respond. But sadly, Klal Yisrael didn't get it at the time. And instead they complained to Moshe. And that's why Moshe says, Hashem, you got to teach them this kalach of tefillah. Okay, ad kan the words of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Thank you very much for learning with me. And everyone should have a really amazing Shabbos. Anyone who's around tonight, I'm going to give a shir at B'nai Yashirin at 8:15. So everyone is cordially invited. Shkayach.